Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of The War Report. This is first Sunday in February, first Sunday in Black History Month. And if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that I try and devote the entire month of February to Black History Month, to Black History, and I've covered a range of Black History events, issues, you name it, not all of which deal directly with education as relates to teachers, teachers' unions, and the things that we talk about here most of the time. I've talked pretty much about the 400-year history of the Black experience in America. A lot of it has dealt with education issues. I think if you know anything about American history, and particularly the intersection of American history with Black history, two things stand out very prominently. Race has always been a central issue in this country before it became the United States of America, when it was a British colony, and any of the excursions from other explorers who supposedly came to this continent before the famous Columbus, and on and on. And education, a second issue, in particular since 1619, August 20th, when that's the recorded date of the first arrival of African slaves to this country, to Virginia. Of course, now there are people who are saying that Africans came earlier as members of expeditions from other countries decades, if not centuries, before the Africans showed up on the shores of West Virginia, August 20th, 1619. So, to repeat that point, race and education has been probably one of the longest standing issues in this country's 400-year history. Now, if you get our weekly promotion in terms of telling you what the show is going to be about and et cetera, I did not include something in this week's announcement. It's my fault, team, Joe and Deborah. And what I didn't include in that announcement, something very, very important to us here, is that all the shows this month, Black History Month, are dedicated to Joan Kramer. Again, for those of you who've been here throughout the years, who've been on Facebook, you know the name Joan Kramer. She was a teacher, a librarian, who died last spring, summer. She was like family to me and to Joe. In fact, Joan and I always, almost always, ended our conversation reaffirming that we were family. Last February, I did the first show I did on the making of the beginning of Black America in this country. And I talked about how that slave ship arrived here at night and how the governor of Virginia and another man walked the shore to get to the ship, and how they recorded in their books that 20 some odd black slaves were let off the ship in exchange for provisions, that the ship had been seriously, seriously damaged, and they needed these provisions in order to repair the ship and make it possible for it to get back on the high seas and continue its journey. And that was all we know from that eventful night until recently. And that a book and now several articles have come out saying that there's way more to it than that little short entry in the colony's journal by the governor and his executive assistant. I'm calling him that. I don't know what his title was. And that those 20-some-odd Africans were part of a larger contingent of Africans who were taken off of a Spanish ship that was disabled by British pirates. And they had three ships, and they put slaves on all three of the ships that attacked this Spanish galley, I don't know what they call it back then, man of war. And it was part of a large conspiracy hatched in England by one of the king at the time, most trusted confidant and member of parliament, who was dead set on stopping the king from keeping England as a Protestant country. Well, he wanted to keep England, this particular person wanted to keep England as a Protestant country and not going back to Catholicism. And this is a very short version of this. And that there was a plot by this very powerful, wealthy, high political position individual with others to basically bring down the kingdom to some extent. But anyway, and that these slaves, as they were sent to different places, the ones who landed here in what is now the United States, once this was discovered by the king, the people who had the exclusive right to, quote, develop the new colony called the Virginia Colony at that time, and it was the Virginia Company of London that had the exclusive charter to develop all of America. And that charter was destroyed, and as a result, other entities were able to come to this country from England and set up different colonies, like New York, like Massachusetts, the Carolinas, and et cetera. And I talked about at that time how those 20 black slaves played an indirect but most powerful influence on the development of America. Well, Joan, after that show, she wrote me. Now, Joan was very ill at that time with cancer. Very, very ill. But she wrote me, and she said, "You have to write a book on this and the rest of the shows that you've done on the War Report during Black History Month. I will," this is Joan's voice, "I will help Joe edit and type the manuscript." And this was from a woman who was, as we would find out later, deathly ill. But she loved my reporting on Black History Month and the shows that I've done over the last 4 years. And as such, we miss her extremely so here. And if you remember, I refer to her as one of the knights of our round table, and that there is an empty chair at our round table that will never be filled again. And thus, this is why I'm dedicating Black History Month shows to Joan, all the shows that we do here, because she loved the way I handled the Black History Month shows. And I can't think of any other way to remind people of the great person she was, educator, her commitment to public education, to a lot of civil rights, social justice cause that we are fighting now and have been fighting this country for 100 years. Joan, this show and the rest of the shows are for you. Okay. This week's show was going to be bifurcated in that I was going to talk maybe first half an hour, 35 minutes about Black history. And then I was going to go into 15, 20 minutes talking about what I started talking about last week in terms of what a school, an education initiative, a public education initiative and school would look like and would be if its purpose was to contribute to the positive development of American children, youth, young adults. And I was going to go into that for like 15, 20 minutes this show, and then the next three shows as we approach the closing of the War Report as a radio talk show. I may not get to that latter part today because, as usual, I was going to talk about a micro, very micro slice of American history as related to black women and their contribution to the 400-year struggle for black education in this country. That's important, but that would not do justice to the hundreds, thousands of other black women and their contribution to where we are now in terms of Black History Month. So, I mean, I get to the second half of this show, because I'm expanding my treatment of black women and their contribution to the 400-year struggle for not only education, but for freedom, social justice, and all of the issues, equality, equity, all of those issues that part and parcel of American history as relates to the black experience. Okay, now, as late as or earlier this morning around 3 o'clock my time here in New York, I got a call from California talking about the show coming up. And the person on the other end was saying how livid black parents, black people are, even today, about how schools across this country either don't do anything for Black History Month, and for those who, some of those who do, it is so misleading, inadequate, inaccurate, and disgusting, and wanted me to know about the feelings of many of the parents. This particular person has a very large following on Facebook, and there's been, I guess, conversation. And so that's one of the reasons why I decided to expand my talk today and for the rest of this month on Black history. I'm going to focus probably much as I possibly can this month on black women, because they don't get and haven't gotten hardly any of the attention that they deserve for their contribution from the 1600s onward to where we are today. I'm going to try and deal a little bit with that as we go. And here's something else. And I talked about this last month. There was a, and I talked, this person I talked to this morning, I referred her to this book that I'm going to give you the title now, but I'd also had given that title out last year. And it was a book called We Can't Teach What We Don't Know. We can't teach what we don't know. Teachers, current generation, teachers from the early 2000s, the 1990s, 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, know black history subject, black history itself, was not something that most teachers, the super vast majority of teachers and parents, learned about when they were in school as students. And for those who entered into our profession, no, they were not. It was not part of their training. And one of the points that this person made last night was that today, 2018, the textbooks that are used in schools are so inadequate and inaccurate in their treatment of the black experience in this country. And I reminded this woman of something that I said last year, and I'll remind you again that it was last year, 2017, or the tail end of 2016, a black parent in Texas was looking through her young child's book. He had brought one of his books home. And as she was thumbing through, she ran across a section on black Americans, and it stated right there in big letters, black letters, that black people came to this country not as slaves, but as volunteer workers. And I remember talking about that last year. I mean, that was so much bullshit that it was almost ludicrous, laughable, but dead serious. The textbook stated, and this was in Texas, it's, I think Texas is the second largest buyer of textbooks in America, and very, very, very influential in what is put in textbooks. If they don't like something, they have the clout because of the size of the population, and they can say to a publisher, change this or we won't buy your book. And publishers jump. This black parent was livid. Took to Facebook. She created a firestorm. And the publisher apologized and said that they're going to issue a supplemental piece correcting it. Later, out of Texas, textbook on Mexican Americans stated that Mexican Americans were lazy, take the siesta during the middle of the day. They weren't productive. Very disparaging. Again, this was in the textbook. When it was known, became known, firestorm, and once again, publisher, I'm going to change it. But in this latter case, the people who was very influential in getting that depiction into the textbook was, one, a woman who was former member of, I think, the Texas State Board of Education. She left that position, set up her consulting firm, and had very significant influence that got that depiction, and it was more than just what I just said, negative depiction, into the textbooks. So that you teachers and white female teachers, you make up 80% of the teaching force. If you don't know, you can't teach. If you are not trained, you can't teach. If you haven't gone on your own doing research, critical research, you can't teach. And you certainly can't teach accurate, consensus depiction from the scientific community, the historian, etc. And so that it's extremely important that if you support the Black History Month, like other months that supposedly, you know, national time set aside at the national level, that this is Black History Month, this is Women's Month, this is what have you, you won't be able to teach because you don't know. And this also applies to some black teachers who don't know the history, and hence there are hundreds, multiple hundreds of black women who have played a very prominent role in the struggle for black education, the struggle for civil rights, and women's rights. And so what I'm going to try and do today is identify some of these women from decades, centuries back, as well as maybe, if I can, get to some of them more recent, so that at least you will know their names and you can look up information on these women if you are so inclined. I'm only going to give thumbnail sketches, leaving it up to you to do your own homework here if you're so inclined. And if you want to not only be informed for Black History Month, but for the rest of your time as an educator, as an American citizen, and you know the rest. I'm not going to present these women in chronological order. I thought about doing that, but I'm not going to do that. And before I take off on this, I want to say something. I'm going to ask a question. How many of you know now, 2018, 2017, 2016, back 2011, that Black women are the most educated group in the U.S.? I'm going to say that again. Black women are the most educated group in the U.S. When you look at Black women, white women, white men, Black men, Asian women, men, Hispanic men, women, Black women are the most educated group in this country. I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to bet that most of you did not know that. Not only that, most Black people don't know it. Most people in this country, all on this planet, don't know that fact. I'm going to get to that after I present some of the other women that I'm going to talk about. But I am going to end up going back to this: Black women are the most educated group in America. And you can look this up. You can Google this. That title, Black women are the most educated group in the U.S., Google it, and you will find all kinds of data, stories about what I just said. Okay, let's get started. I'm going to throw out some names and see if you know this, anything about these people. Phyllis Wheatley, born in 1753, died 1784. Phyllis Wheatley, look her up. She went from an African slave to becoming an American literary poet. Her impact on America was that she had an impact on American culture. She's a very prominent figure in American literary history. Phyllis Wheatley, you'd be surprised. She had an incredible career as a poet. As I said, she truly influenced American culture. This is back in the 1700s. Here's a name that I'm pretty sure most of you are going to recognize, may even know something about her: Sojourner Truth. She, too, is a 1700s person. She was born in 1797. She died in 1883. she too went from being a slave to a feminist visionary. Her contributions to Black history, American history, spans beyond her Blackness. She was a women's rights advocate. She helped change the way Americans viewed women and Blacks. And she was the first Black woman to win a lawsuit against a white man in this country. That's pretty big. The suit was to recover her son, who was still a slave. She escaped slavery with her daughter, but left her son. And as I just indicated, eventually she went back to try and get her son, and she was able to do so by bringing a successful lawsuit. Now, you might know her. She was also an abolitionist. You might know her from an extemporaneous speech that she gave called "Ain't I a Woman?" If nothing else, look up that "Ain't I a Woman?" That is a historical document. And as I said earlier, she is credited with helping change the way Americans viewed women and Blacks. And folks, that's no Mickey Mouse feat here. That's a major thing. We're talking about changing perceptions, which then can cause what I talked about earlier, cognitive dissonance, which can cause changes in perceptions and behavior. Major person. But I'm going to bet that many of you know the name if you don't know details about the person. But here's another one. Harriet Tubman. Now, again, I'm going to bet that you guys know something about Harriet Tubman. You may know her as the Black Moses. Black Moses, the deliverer. Okay. She, too, was a former slave. She ran away from her master. And she would become known as the Black Moses. And that's because she helped found the Underground Railroad, that secret passage, more or less, from the south to the north into Canada for runaway slaves. She's known to have made 18 successful round-trip adventures into the slaveholding South and brought out what she's credited with having brought out of slavery hundreds, personally engineering the freeing of hundreds of Blacks from slavery in the Deep South. She, at one point, was the most wanted woman in the nation. Slave owners hired all kinds of men to hunt her down, to capture her, to kill her. Never happened. She also, because of the Underground Railroad that she helped establish, She served as a Union spy for the Union Army. She carried a pistol, rifle. She was badass. Really badass. You probably know more about her than some of the other people, but you can even look. In fact, they made a movie, a television miniseries, I recall now. I can't remember how far back it was, but there's a lot on her. So much so that of all the black women that we could talk about, she is one of the more better known, I should say, than others. Another woman, Mary McLeod Bethune, born in 1875, died in 1955. This is a powerhouse woman, folks. Powerhouse. She was advocating freedom from the streets, the schoolhouse, to the White House. This, she was an educator, by the way, so we can like claim her as one of our own. She was an educator who founded a college for women, young black women, in 1904 in Daytona, Florida, back then, with the purpose of being able to prepare these women, you call it training, education and training, so that they could go forth and do their part in helping bring about freedom, justice for other blacks and other people in the country. I call her a powerhouse because that statement when I said from to the White House, she was an advisor to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. She advised him on education and economic issues concerning African Americans. She worked in several administrations. We're talking here the 1940s, folks. This woman also was very prominent in the U.S., helping establish the UN, United Nations Charter. And then I said, she worked in the White House for several administrations at the highest levels of government. But she is not well known by a large segment of the population, even the black segment. That's a shame because she is really, again, she is worth looking up and learning something about her. One thing is, before I go any further, you'll find that many of the black women who are worthy of being in the history books, they did not just deal with black issues. What many of them had in common, going back to the 1700s, was they advocated for women's rights. Early, early advocates for women's rights. In the North, and those who had freedom, participated in women's rights movement of the time, as well as, you know, abolitionists. And the point I guess I'm trying to make is that, like some today, they basically was concerned about a wider range of humanity than just themselves and their group. They were part of larger movements that impacted larger segments of the human family. Not just being, quote, black nationalists or focus only on black issues. And this is something that you'll find if you do go and take a look, that many of these women had in common, as well as many of the white people, white women of the time, Jane Addams and others. They advocated not just for, you know, white women issues, but for larger platform, including other groups. To me, that's important. I don't want to belabor the point, but that's important. That's one of the things that I've talked about here, is that today groups are so splintered. You have, even in education, you have various groups who are approaching the issue of the survival of public education using their own platform. There's no coming together of these groups to make one larger movement. Even the outside of education, the, you know, Occupy Wall Street was a large group, but it too was pretty much a white person's movement. They didn't have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of blacks and Hispanics as part of that group. Whereas 200 years ago, 300 years ago, when it was even more difficult, you had these individuals moving across the lines of color, class, religion, to form a more unified group or movement that we don't have today, at least from where I am looking from. And I've said this many, many times, that's sad to me. Because if we could unite, we could accomplish so much more than if we go on our separate ways. So, end of preaching. Okay. Now, there are some other women, of course, of note here. One that I really wish, if you got to look anyone up, Ida B. Wells, born 1862, died 1931. She too was a powerhouse, but she's given very little recognition and credit for the work that she did in her lifetime. She was a journalist, a newspaper editor. She fought for women's rights. She was a feminist. She was even a sociologist, an early leader in the civil rights movement. But as I said, you won't find a lot about her because a lot of people was threatened by this woman, black men and women, her intellectual prowess, her energy, her commitment. She was a leader, and you know, especially back then, it was a men's world, and men were threatened by her. Even women who rose to any level of influence was threatened by her. And so you find that now, you know, historians are laying all of this out for us. So you'll see, for example, she was very prominent in the start of the NAACP. But she doesn't get credit for it. She was prominent in a movement in Chicago trying to create a national black women forum and movement. But she didn't get credit for it because the president was threatened by her and made sure that her name was never put in any of the documents detailing her contribution and influence in the formation of various movements and her role of contribution. She is now being recognized by universities and other organizations as a journalist, her contribution as a newspaper editor. Certain schools are setting up and naming wings of their school after her, and displays detailing her contribution to journalism. She is credited being one of the first investigative journalists. You know, investigative journalists are the badass of journalism. She's credited for being one of the first, if not the first. That's heavy stuff, folks. That's some real heavy stuff. But look her up. Another person, and I'm trying to edit my list here because, again, I'm looking at the time, but there was another woman, Mary Church Terrell. Basically, she was the woman I was talking about who was part of the National Civil Rights Organization for Women and Women's Suffrage. She was one of the people who tried to make sure that Ida didn't get her just dues for her work. But Mary Church Terrell was born in 1863. She died in 1954. She was one of the first African-American women to get or to earn a college degree. That's big time, folks. One of the first African-American women to get a college degree. She was very active in the civil rights movement and women's movement of her time. You don't hear a lot about her. There was another woman before her, Frances Harper, born in 1825, died 1911. She was an abolitionist, a suffragist, a poet, author, major social reformer of her time. Very influential black woman. Again, you'd have to go digging to find out about her and some of the other women that I have talked about. And before I forget, there are dozens of books dealing with significant, I'm scrambling for the right word here, prominent, significant, influential black women and men that are written, these books are written for elementary school, middle school, high school, and of course, you know, college. You have the Black Studies programs and Black History being taught in colleges. But for elementary, middle school, high school, there are tons of books. They may be under the name of the most 100 most influential African Americans, or African American scientists, African American politicians. They're there if you want to go and find them. If you want to teach lessons on African American history during Black History Month, there are books out there for preschool to PhD that you can reliably draw on. So to say that, you know, teachers don't know, teachers are misinformed by textbooks, publishers, while that's true, it's also true that if you are inclined, you can find material that is pretty accurate pertaining to the person that you're studying. Okay. Now, again, some people know about, I'm reading some messages here about Wheatley and Truth. One teacher said, I love teaching Wheatley and Truth. And she also said that Harriet Tubman, she teaches, this is a white teacher who says that she knows about these individuals, and she religiously, during Black History Month, do lessons on them. That's good. Hats off to you. Okay. One more person here that Shabazz, the wife of Malcolm X. I'm pretty sure most of you know about Malcolm X. Betty Shabazz. After he died, she went back to school. She ended up getting a PhD, becoming a professor, very prominent in creating curriculum for Afrocentric schools across the country. Well, I would bet you she is a name that most people never heard, maybe, and certainly don't know a lot about. You know about Angela Davis, and there are so many others that I can't do justice to with the time that I allotted. So next week, I'm going to continue. Now, one of the things that I'm probably not going to do is a lot of identifying women, Black women from the entertainment field, going back to, you know, minstrel days and all up to Oprah Winfrey. They're important, but I want to get to the educators, the scientists, the people, the political people, the people who made real contributions to uplifting, quote, that was the word coming out of the slave period. Uplifting the race was the thing. Educators and others who wanted to use their education and their knowledge to go back to their communities and help raise the community up from the bottom. I'm going to try and identify those people for you. And since we have limited time, I said I probably won't go into the entertainment that much, or if any. Bessie Coleman is a name that I would talk about. Josephine Baker and others that came out of the entertainment area, if I talk about anyone. Okay, folks, my time is up. In fact, I've gone over my time. I hope you are finding this to be of interest, and I will see you next week. Thank you, and have a good rest of your Sunday.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.